Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and the phrase support group conjures images of a circle of folding chairs in a church basement, maybe members comforted by weak coffee and stale donuts. But when one such group kicked out the young widow, Becky Aikman, she assembled a crew of five other misfit widows to move beyond the grieving process together. In her new book, Saturday Night Widows, the former Newsday writer chronicles their non-traditional year together, and she joins us now. Becky, welcome to WNYC.
Hi, Brian. Thanks.
So you were kicked out of your support group, literally?
Literally, I was, and we didn't even have coffee and donuts. It's easy to say I was kicked out of the group because I was younger than everyone else, but I don't think that was true. I think the group was based on very old-fashioned misconceptions about what helps people who are overcoming a loss, and it was very dreary and sad. And when I complained afterwards to the social worker in charge that I thought it should be more forward-looking and more positive, he told me I didn't fit in, and he asked me not to come back.
What would forward-looking and positive look like to you at that time?
At that moment, the script I'd been following in my life had been torn to pieces, and I needed to come up with a new one. I needed to find out who I was now and where I should live and how I should live and who I cared about and who cared about me. I needed to reinvent myself. And sitting around talking about how sad I was wasn't going to help me with that.
Did you find that other members of the group, and you were a widow in your 40s and other widows in the group tended to be older, I guess you just said, were they judgmental of you?
They were a little bit. They said that I had my whole life ahead of me, and so what was I there for? What was I worried about?
And the book is partly a memoir, but you are by trade a journalist, and you did some research into grief. And, for example, the Kubler-Ross model, the famous five stages of grief. But you rejected that model in large measure. How come?
Well, I did some research and spoke to psychological researchers who have actually only recently studied people who are overcoming a loss in their lives. And I discovered that many of the ideas we all have about it are misconceptions. One of them is the five stages of grief. Those were actually a theory put together by studying people who were dying, not people who were grieving.
And the five stages are usually labeled as denial, anger, bargaining, depression, acceptance. But you're right, having to do with you're coming to grips with your own mortality
right,
as you yourself are dying, not the loss of a loved one.
Exactly. And these weren't at all the stages that I was following. I wasn't following any sort of stages at all. I was sometimes very sad, and other times I felt normal. So I felt like a misfit because I wasn't following the pattern that I thought I was supposed to follow.
Are there actual stages of grief as opposed to accepting your own impending death that are worth articulating, or just there is no model, there can be no model?
There are no stages. People tend to have emotional waves that can be very intense at the beginning. You can be very sad, and the next minute you can find something funny. These waves get further apart and less intense over time. But one of the things that made me feel guilty is if I laughed or had some fun in the early days. But when I spoke to researchers, they said that people who smile and laugh the most in the early days of grieving have the best mental health years later. So it's important to have positive and fun experiences.
You have a phrase called the widow's tour. What does that mean exactly?
One of the women in my subsequent renegade support group came up with this. It's when everyone you know calls you and visits you and expresses sympathy. And we all very much appreciated that everyone did it for us, but it was hard on us too.
So should people who feel uncomfortable in the first place when a friend of theirs loses a spouse, should they not call and express their sympathy?
They definitely should. I don't mean to imply that they shouldn't. They should call, and people say, what should you say to someone who's grieving? And one thing I say is ask them, would you like to go to the movies with me Saturday night? Acknowledge that they do need to move on and that you'll support them in that.
Listeners, if you want to get in on this, if any of this is familiar to you from any side of it, you can call now and talk to Becky Aikman, author of Saturday Night Widows, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9222. 9692. And so you gathered a group of six widows going out on Saturday nights called The Blossoms. Where did that name come from?
One of the activities that we did together was go to the Metropolitan Museum, and we saw watercolors of lotus blossoms that were very powerful and intense, and these lotus blossoms were vigorous and palpably sexual almost. And one of the women in the group told us that her husband had given her a photograph of a lotus blossom shortly before he died, saying that it reminded him of her because she could bloom even in the mud. And we all appreciated that sentiment.
And these were all women around your age?
We ranged in age from late 30s to early 50s.
Did you pick Saturday night, which people would think of as a date night, for a specific reason?
Of course, because it's the toughest night for widows. It's the night when we're left alone or we're the third wheel. So it was the night we wanted to be together and have fun.
And you were already remarried when you started this group, right?
Right.
So people might be surprised that coming at that point, 4 years after your previous husband had died and being remarried, that you would be involved in organizing a widows group at that time and in this way. Should we be surprised?
I don't think so. I mean, partly I did it, I expected to be somewhat at a remove from the group because I was planning to write a book about it and I wanted to explore these ideas of what's a better way to move forward after a tough situation in life. But also I was still going through so many changes because widowhood turns your life upside down. And even though I was remarried, I was adjusting to a new relationship, living in a new place, having a stepdaughter, which was a new experience for me. So all of us talked all the time about the many changes we were going through, and that was helpful to everyone, including me.
So were the Blossoms part activity group, part support group?
Exactly.
And how did you approach your support group differently from the support group that you had come out of, having had a not great experience?
The goal of our group was that we would not be forced to sit around talking about traumatic and upsetting memories, that we would look forward and enjoy ourselves. Nevertheless, the first time we met, I remember thinking, wow, this could be one sad story, because the only thing we had in common was not the sort of thing that lights a fire under a party. But over time, it became clear that what we were sharing was an adventure story, because we went through so many exciting and interesting changes together.
And did this end after a while, or is it ongoing?
We decided to do 1 year where formally we met once a month having these adventures, but we weren't able to stop because we still get together all the time and we talk all the time about everything.
And does your husband say, come on, I want to go out on Saturday night?
Well, we don't necessarily get together on Saturday night, but when we do, he completely understands.
Carol in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Carol.
Carol,
listen to your phone, not your radio. Hi, Carol. You're on the air.
Come on. I want to go out on Saturday.
Hi.
Hi. Turn off your radio, okay? Because we're hearing the delay.
Well, I can't tell you how happy I am to hear you, the both of you. I lost my dear husband 2 years ago. I will say this. I have a date at 1 o'clock, okay?
Don't be late.
I have three grown children. I have three grandchildren. I miss my husband. When he died, I grieved. I cried. I wailed. I went to a hospice group, which was wonderful. There was a difference between the older widow and the younger widow, as you were. And one woman even said, I'm 80 years old. How will I get on with my life? It's better when your husband dies when you're young. Oh, I wanted a group. I wanted a rebel group, a group that would engage in the life that was to come, not the life that we had lost. Does that make any sense?
I'm sure it makes all the sense.
Carol, you would be a perfect member of the Saturday Night Widows. You have just the attitude that we had.
And Carol, thank you very much. How about that comment that made her gasp, that in a way you're luckier to lose your husband at an earlier age?
One of the women in the support group I went to did say that to me. And my response, which I did not say out loud, was, hey, 50 wonderful years together might have been nice, because that's what she had experienced. Look, there's no point in comparing who's better or worse off when a tragedy strikes. It's all bad. And so it's not productive to look at it that way. perhaps I was in a different place in my life and had different issues than she did.
On our comments page, Molly writes, couldn't these same things be applied to going through a divorce?
Oh, I think it's so true. I think they could be applied to going through any difficult situation in life. And certainly there were many similarities between us and women who were divorced. The idea that suddenly you have to go out there and start dating again when you've been with the same person for 20 years. It's good to have friends to talk that over with.
Susan in West Orange, you're on WNYC with Becky Aikman. Hi.
Hi. I had a similar experience. I lost my husband in my 40s and tried to connect with a group of women who were mostly in their 50s and 60s and really felt like it was almost age discrimination, that they resented the fact that they all saw it as though I was going to have no problem reconnecting or connecting with somebody else at this point in my life, and that if you're in your 50s and 60s, it's so much harder. And I would have loved the group that your guest is talking about, and it's only been 5 years for me, so it hasn't been a long time. But, the age thing was a big deal because I couldn't find anybody else my age that was going through a similar, a theme in their life. And the women that I was connecting with that were in a similar situation were considerably older than me, and not that was common ground, but then the age became a factor.
So I wonder if based, and Susan, thank you so much for your call. I wonder if based on both your and Susan's experiences, Becky, that there need to be sort of age-defined groups for, widow support, because maybe that's what made your experience so different that you didn't fit in with your group, and Susan seems to have had that experience.
I think that's true, and I think the key is that what I believe is that groups should be looking forward. And so you should be with people whose issues going forward are somewhat similar to yours. And if that's defined by age in part, I think you're right.
So the Blossoms sound like a wonderful experience for you and the five other women involved. Do you have any how-to advice in our last 45 seconds or so for listeners right now who might also want to start their own alternative forward-looking widow support group?
I think the key is to remember that you should not feel guilty about wanting to have a new and happy life, and you should do what it takes to make that happen. And getting together with friends is helpful. Laughing and having fun is helpful. Having new experiences is helpful because it teaches you to be flexible and to try new things in your life. And that's what you have to do if you need to move forward.
Saturday Night Widows is the name of the book just out. The author is Becky Aikman. 10 seconds, was it hard to open up publicly about these experiences that were so private to you in a book?
For all of us, it was not as hard as we thought because we had craved this kind of company so much for ourselves, and it made us feel good that we could provide company for other people going through this.
Thank you so much for sharing all this with our listeners.
Thanks, Brian.
And thanks for listening, everybody. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.